Bienvenidos. Hey there, World Soccer Talk Radio with you here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. I am your host, Nate Abaurea. Thank you so much for making this show a part of your daily plans, live on all of our fantastic Sports Byline radio affiliates and in podcast form, iTunes, TuneIn, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, and of course, worldsoccertalk.com. Leave us a review on iTunes when you get a chance. It really does help us out, and we appreciate it quite a bit. Tweet us at World Soccer Talk. Again, that is at World Soccer Talk in the wild thing known as the Twitter sphere, at NateWST to get a hold of me with all of that love mail. And of course, the hate mail that you are far too good at sending. Barcelona are out of this world. Are you watching them in the Champions League today? Oh my goodness. Arsenal don't look half bad either, trying to keep their slim but still existing Champions League hopes alive with a win today, and then they'll have to win again on the final match day in the Champions League group stage. And even Chelsea are looking mighty fine in the Champions League today. That's, of course, because they're playing Maccabi Tel Aviv, the team that hasn't registered a single point in the Champions League. Hey, Cahill on set pieces, baby. Come on, Chelsea. 15th place in the Premier League. That just, I'm gonna bask in the glory of that as much as possible. It's one thing that we can all bond on, us football supporters, no matter who we support. We can just look at Chelsea in 15th place in the Premier League and go, ha ha ha, cheers. Oscar Oberg is going to be with us. He is a Swedish author that has just written a book that is very good. I love the title. I read it last night. I blasted through this thing last night. The book is called I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football. Within the first few chapters of this book, which is actually more of a series of essays, and I can't wait to talk with Oscar about the creative process that went into this thing, he discusses Jurgen Klopp and Arsene Wenger. He discusses Sherlock Holmes and the rapper Jay-Z. He discusses Billy Connolly, Bill Burr, and George Carlin, three of my favorite comedic minds of all time. He also touches on Gary Neville and the biter that is Luis Suarez, the biting genius that is Luis Suarez. Talks about George Costanza and Jerry Seinfeld and Elaine Bennis and Cosmo Kramer. Get a little Seinfeld love in there. There is so much in this book, and I cannot wait to talk with Oscar all about it on the other side of the break. Oscar Oberg is his name. My name is Nate Abaurea. World Soccer Talk Radio is what you are listening to. Stick tight. We're back after this.
You're listening to World Soccer Talk Radio with your host, Nate Abaurea, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
Aguero! I swear you'll never see anything like this ever again!
Welcome back in to World Soccer Talk Radio. I am your host, Nate Abaurea. Tweet me at NateWST. Get a hold of all of us at World Soccer Talk. Our guest in this edition of the program is a Swedish author named Oscar Oberg. His latest book is entitled I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football. Oscar, thank you so much for coming on to the show.
Yeah, thanks so much for being on, you know. It's a pleasure.
So this book here is actually more of a series of separate essays that you tied together, this sort of beautiful hodgepodge of your thoughts on the beautiful game. Talk about how this thing came to be and give us a little feel for why you went with the title and why you want to be like Jurgen Klopp so much.
Yeah, to summarize the book, I would say, as you said, it's a collection of strange thoughts that I have, and I mean, my natural tendency when I write is to be a little bit philosophical, and I love stand-up comedy, so another natural tendency is to try to be fun. So these essays is my attempts to be intriguing and fun about football, and I mean the one with Jurgen Klopp. I think that the word, when you think about Jurgen Klopp, it's connection. He is so connected to his players. He's so connected to the fans. to the media, and he's so connected to the game also. So yeah, I try to describe how all these kind of things make me really want to be like Jürgen Klopp.
Now you yourself, though, if I'm not mistaken, you're an Arsenal supporter.
Yeah, I am.
So talk about that. How you're discussing a manager of now a opposition Premier League manager, but have you ever wanted to be like Arsene Wenger? Are you still sticking with Jürgen Klopp?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think Arsenal is like, okay, there's my heart. But if I look at the persons that I kind of look up to, I think Jürgen Klopp is closer to what I look up to than Arsene Wenger, because he's a little bit more charismatic. He's a little bit more, as I said before, connected to the media, and he's a little bit more lighthearted, as I want people to be.
Well, as we talk about the lightheartedness of these essays, of these strange thoughts about football, as you put it, that you've compiled here for this book, one of my favorite aspects of it is how much you actually focus on comedy, and you make these beautiful comparisons and analogies of comedy, be it theater, be it television, or be it classic stand-up comedy. And I opened the show by mentioning that in this book, which I was lucky enough to get to just blast through over the last couple of nights, you reference Billy Connolly, one of my all-time favorite stand-up comedians, the Scottish legend that is Bill Connolly. You reference the nastiness of Bill Burr, another one of my comedic heroes. And of course, you had a whole page dedicated to George Carlin. Talk about how Billy Connolly, Bill Burr, and George Carlin for you somehow tie back to soccer.
I think, I don't know. For me, I've always been a little bit obsessed with stand-up comedy. Since I was 10 years old, I was totally into Seinfeld. And I mean, everything about it. So the thing I like with stand-up comedians is that they take a thought, and then they twist it, and then they twist it, and then they try to twist it again. And that thing really appeals to me, because when I look at football, I don't want to see like the simple explanation of something. I want to see, and I want to read about something more complicated. And I think when you use comedians as references, it gets the users into the writing also. So yeah, that's my explanation of it.
Now, Oscar, in yesterday's program and in a number of editions of this show, yesterday it was focused on Rafa Benitez and a lot of people questioning the tactics of Rafa Benitez with Real Madrid and the crushing loss in El Clasico to Barcelona, and we break down, we do the armchair manager here all the time, the Monday morning breakdown in hindsight 2020 breakdowns of managers. And one of the quotes that I loved that you brought up that tied so beautifully from one of the comedians back to soccer, it was a great quote from the aforementioned Bill Burr. It was all about how with comedy and for him, you know, 20, 30 years as a stand-up comedian, he tries to improvise as much as possible. He tries to, as you say, throw a new wrinkle there, you know, try some new things out. But he always has to have something to fall back on. A comedian would call that his act, his go-to. There has to be something to fall back on. And it's funny, in the immediate here, looking at Rafa Benitez's shortcomings, as a lot of people are calling him there in the Clasico, it seemed as if he was going for something different, but then he didn't have anything to fall back on. I mean, it was amazing how much that applied to managers in the beautiful game, that idea of trying new things, but always having that safety net. Talk a little bit about that chapter in the book.
Yeah, and as you say, it was really good. I think you really can see at the Real Madrid game that Benitez is kind of just throwing all the kind of Galacticos, or what you call them. And it wasn't a good act. It was just trying to have good players on the field. And for me, I think it's important, because I talk about in that essay about when you really know tactics on a deep level, you really can improvise. I mean, when you see Bayern Munich or Barcelona, I mean, people there really have a good feeling for tactics, and then they can improvise and really be finding magic that I'm talking about. But I mean, if you don't know tactics on a deep level, I mean, you should really start there to get that feeling, and then you can be as magical as you can be. I think I use Arsenal, the 2003 and 2004 team as an example when they are finding that magic.
Absolutely. Now, one thing I got to ask you here in the final 2 minutes of this segment before we got to head to our first break here with the Oscar is your chapter where a man by the name, this was in the first half of the book. I think this actually was in the third chapter, if I'm not mistaken. And it was a bizarre kind of homage to a man by the name of Gary Neville. And again, to reiterate here, you're an Arsenal fan. You hated Gary Neville for quite a bit, but you seem to very much enjoy Gary Neville, the pundit, Gary Neville, the football analyst. Talk about your view of Gary Neville, not only as an Arsenal supporter, but just as an author and a fellow human being.
Yeah. No, I mean, you're totally correct. I mean, I should really hate him. As I say in the essay, you know, he kind of kicked all Arsenal players for like two decades. But when he speaks, I really think that he is well-read. He knows his stuff. So when he says stuff, he really have substance behind it. So one of the few shows I actually watch about football, it's the Monday Night Football. Sky Sports, because I think it's amazing, and every time he says something, it gets me to think, and that's a good feeling. That's a really good feeling.
And we'll talk a little bit more about thought stimulation and brain stimulation on the other side of this break, whether it's the magic of radio, whether it's a good book. That ties back to a great Billy Connolly quote that you used in one of the early chapters of this book. Really enjoying this conversation. Hope you are as well. My name is Nate Alberea. His name is Oscar Oberg. The book is I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football. We're back after this right here on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network. It's World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned.
You're listening to World Soccer Talk Radio with your host, Nate Alberea, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
But I'm now the president of everybody.
Again, we're here with Oscar Oberg, a Swedish author, the author of a book entitled I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football. Absolutely love this thing, and we're going to pick up right where we left off there. We're talking actually about Gary Neville there to close that last segment, and I want to go back to the great Scottish comedian Billy Connolly, and there's this great quote that you used here. It was in the second chapter of the book here, Oscar, and it's from Billy Connolly, and it's all about waking up the brain. It's about stimulating the mind and the sensual experience of something like good art, whether it's football, whether it's radio, whether it's theater. There are so many different options here, but I want to get to this quote here. When people are really good at something, whether it's a good comedian, a guitarist, a sitar player, someone doing sonatas on the piano, they bring this atmosphere with them that makes you think great. You find yourself wandering off in your brain. Sensually, it wakens you up. Absolutely love that quote. And I want to throw it to you, Oscar, and ask you, when did that really hit you? The idea of how important it is to keep your brain stimulated and to seek out greatness, to seek out quality, whether it's a football team, whether it's a comedian, whether it's a guitarist. Talk about how you've learned about that over the years.
Try to think back, but as I told you earlier, that my love for Seinfeld came pretty early, and already there I kind of felt that I connected to good comedy. because after I had watched Seinfeld, I had a little bit problem to watch other comedic series, because I think I really connected to like good comedy. And I mean, for me, it's everything. It's like, as you said, everything in art. If it's good music, I really feel that person have thought about the text and the music to it. I mean, it wakes up the brain. I want to read good stuff. I want to listen to good stuff. I want to see good football. I mean, everything that makes me feel more alive, you know, get the eyes kind of open wide. Yeah, so that's the feeling I'm searching for.
Well, and there truly is an elegance in the simplicity of that statement. Some people might hear that and go, well, yeah, good food tastes good. Good music, it sounds good, of course. Yeah. But the idea of, again, stimulating the brain, and I love the way that Billy Connolly ends that quote, and I love that you use this, sensually, it wakens you up. It's good for your head. It's good for your brain. It's good for your health to seek out this quality stuff. Now you reference Seinfeld so much in this book. You've referenced Seinfeld a few times already here on my show today. So I'll just throw it to you right now. Favorite Seinfeld episode of all time? I know you had like a whole chapter dedicated to the contest. So I mean, you can go with the contest or go with another one.
I mean, that's a good one. I mean, I always like the Puerto Rican day, because it's something beautiful when George Costanza's fictional character, Jerry Seinfeld's fictional character, and Kramer's fictional character all meets in an apartment. the Puerto Rican day, it's an amazing episode.
All right, my two that come to mind are the Soup Nazi, of course. Gotta tip my cap to the Soup Nazi. No soup for you. But the other one, this is actually kind of a wild card one here. Not a lot of people talk about this one. It's the AIDS Walk episode, the New York City AIDS Walk episode, where Kramer is just staying up all night. It's like 4 a.m, and Jerry keeps knocking on his door going, what the hell's going on in there? Kramer, you got the AIDS Walk. Yeah, I'm going to be fine, Jerry. I'm going to be fine. And Kramer somehow gets into the AIDS Walk, and then, of course, all hell breaks loose, as it always does. How does, for you, Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld, those type of minds, I mean, what would they be like in an alternate universe where they were football managers? How do you think Larry David and Jerry Seinfeld would hold up as coaches of a soccer team?
I mean, that's a good question. I think Larry David would be a manager. I mean, too emotional. I mean, angry all the time. I mean, he would be like Paolo Di Canio.
Larry David like Paolo Di Canio. Now you have me thinking, who you would compare if George Costanza, the fictional character, not Jason Alexander, the actor here, but the fictional character of George Costanza in Seinfeld, who would he be most comparable to as a football manager?
I mean, what do you think about angry? I mean, Paolo Di Canio is one. I mean, I don't kind of think of... I mean, that's like the best example of some angry dude, but...
I can only... You know, it's funny. The only one I can think of right now for George Costanza and all of our Mexican listenership, I'm sure, is going to love this, and I might get some hate mail for this too, though. Miguel Herrera, the now former Mexico national team manager. There you go. Miguel Herrera and George Costanza seem like kindred spirits.
That's a good mention. I didn't think of him. Yeah. I heard some strange stuff from him. Yeah.
Ooh, and then who would, you know, it's funny because this ties back perfectly to the title of the book, because now I'm thinking of Cosmo Kramer as a football manager. And the only person who I can think of that would be even slightly comparable here would be a man by the name of Jurgen Klopp. I think Jurgen Klopp has a little Cosmo Kramer in him. What do you think about that, Oscar?
Yeah. But to be fair to Klopp, I think he's a little bit more grounded in his kind of thinking, you know. I mean, Kramer would have like fun kind of offensive tactics, but I don't know, Nate. I think it would be kind of a chaos.
The tactics of that team led by Cosmo Kramer, what kind of formation would they be playing?
Yeah, but I mean, if you think Kramer, I think it would be crazy. I think it could be like maybe just 9 person in the midfield kind of walking around. I have no idea. I mean, Actually, now that I'm thinking of it, I would really like to see it. It would be fun football.
All right, we're gonna have to make this happen here. That'll be the next fantasy soccer site. We'll do Seinfeld soccer. I cannot wait. We'll get rich off this thing, Oscar. We'll do it up. DraftKings will have nothing on us. We'll do it up. Fantasy Seinfeld soccer. I cannot wait. Hey, I want to ask you about a couple other non-football characters that you tie into this book, and actually go back here to something that you said early on in the book that I really liked, and something that really hit me in the heart as someone who wants to be a creative mind and always tries to look at soccer from different angles and look at sports even from different angles and find these commonalities. And I love this line that you write here. It's amazingly fun for me that a quote from Bill Burr, a comedian, can serve as an entry door to the world of football tactics, or that Stuart Pearce can be discussed by reference to Punk and Johnny Rotten, and finding these commonalities, which is just such a beautiful mindset to have. And I want to ask you about another character, another human being, a great human being that you discussed early on in this book, and that is Sherlock Holmes. Talk about your writing on Sherlock Holmes and how that ties back to your love for soccer, Oscar.
Yeah, I think the Sherlock Holmes one was the essay with Gary Neville. And I think the thing with Sherlock Holmes that I really connected to when I was young was that he could find so much information from so little. I mean, he was so mindful. He was so aware of things happening. And that's what I've always been interested in people that can see details. And that's why I also think I love Seinfeld, because they've always been good at kind of explaining details in social dynamics and everything. So, yeah, I mean, I just like hyper-aware people.
Well, it's one of the interesting aspects. Again, going back to something like Seinfeld, or the point that you make there about Sherlock Holmes is that these people were in many ways, they were anthropologists. You know what I mean? They're studying the tiny microscopic little details of human interaction, and tie that back to, it's funny, there's actually a great quote from Arsene Wenger, where, and so many other managers have touched on this over the years, but that concept of you have to have kicked every single ball before the game even happens. You have to assume that every single person is going to pick up an injury. You have to know if your 18th man off the bench is going to be able to slot in to this position. You have to go over all these things in advance. And this detail-oriented mindset, it's amazing when you make a comparison there. I can't help but think now that Sherlock Holmes would be a mighty good football manager, Oscar.
Yeah, I definitely think. I mean, you talked about Kramer, he would be shitty, you know, but Sherlock Holmes, I really think he would be, like, collected. He would be awesome. He would be awesome.
Oh, I love it, and hope you are as well. Tweet us your take on this conversation at World Soccer Talk. Get at me at Nate WST. Oscar, are you on Twitter by chance?
No, I'm actually not.
Where can we send you? If we can't send you a tweet, can we send like a carrier pigeon to you or something?
It's a little bit embarrassing, you know, because I should be living like a human being 2015 and have like Instagram and Twitter and stuff, you know, but I don't know.
Oh, well, I forgive you. You're only writing books and being creative, you know, like people have been doing for thousands of years. So yeah, no shame in that one. We'll try to figure out where we can send some send some postcards to you or something. Definitely want to get involved somehow. Again, the book is I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football. His name is Oscar Oberg. My name is Nate Abareya, and we're taking a little trip to Sweden on the other side of this break, and we're talking about the Swedish national team and their chances in Euro 2016, and of course we will discuss that famous Swede named Zlatan right here on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned, Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
World Soccer Talk Radio with your host, Nada Barea, on the Sports Byline Broadcasting Network.
This man is absolute magic that belongs in a different galaxy altogether.
Oh, hey there, Ray Hudson. So our show today is brought to you by Audible, and I've got a free book for you today. But the real challenge with Audible is to pick which book. They've got 180,000 titles. You heard me correctly. That's six digits there. 180,000 titles. Bestsellers, fiction, biographies, you name it. You can get Sir Alex Ferguson's new book. You can get the John Motson autobiography. The Bobby Charlton book entitled My Manchester United Years. And The Secret Footballer's Guide to the Modern Game. Oh, so many more. Let me give you the link for your free audiobook, plus the Daily Digest of the New York Times or the Wall Street Journal. All of that is available to you for free for 30 days. And you just have to cancel at any point during that first 30 days. If you don't want to do it anymore, you pay absolutely nothing, and the book is yours to keep forever and ever. But I think you're going to be hooked on this thing. Audible is fantastic. I've checked it out myself, gotten involved. Audible is a great way to listen to your favorite authors on your commute or at the gym. Here's the deal. Get your free audiobook today at, this is what you need to write down here, audibletrial.com, audibletrial.com/worldsoccertalk. First month, absolutely free, gratis for you. You get one audiobook. Sign up today. audibletrial.com/worldsoccertalk. And I want to make sure that that I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football can find its way to Audible, because you need to check this thing out. Hope you're enjoying this show. Yours truly, Nada Barea, with a Swedish author, Oscar Oberg. And we're actually going to take a step away from the book that we've discussed in great detail over the last couple of segments and talk about Oscar's national team. Talk about the Swedes, who will be heading to France 2016 for the Euros after knocking out the Danes in that playoff. And Zlatan Ibrahimovic with one of my favorite quotes of 2015 with us. So we're talking all about great quotes here that you've used in your book, Oscar. We're laughing about this one during the commercial break there. Zlatan saying that he was getting all this hate mail from these Danish fans and all these people in Denmark that said, you should have retired 2 years ago. You need to retire. You're bad for the game. You're an evil force. You need to retire. Retire, retire, retire. And Zlatan said, well, I enjoyed hearing that word retire so much, so I figured I would retire Denmark's hopes of qualifying for Euro 2016. Oscar, give us your thoughts on Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who you called one of the greatest human beings to ever live there during the commercial break.
Yeah. No, I mean, 95% of the Swedish population wants to marry Zlatan. I mean, both guys and girls.
I was going to say, man or woman, it doesn't matter. He's a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah, of course. No, I mean, he's just somebody that's... Because in Sweden, I think people have a tendency to follow rules a lot. We have... we would say we are polite, but maybe sometimes a little bit too polite. And I think Zlatan brings in the kind of freedom and just the confidence. So, yeah. We love Zlatan. I love Zlatan, at least.
Oscar, that's a really, really interesting point that you make there, and I want to expand on this, because for Zlatan to be as great as he is, I mean, let's just be honest here. I grew up idolizing Henrik Larsson, and I remember Olof Mellberg being one of my favorite defenders, but there's not a legacy of Swedish players being mentioned as, you know, top five in the world for 10 years running. He is such an anomaly as far as the history of Swedish football, his level of greatness. But then you touched on something that is in many ways even more important, and that is how audacious he is, how wacky he is, how out there he is, how confident he is, and how people in the country feed off of that. Talk about that a little bit more, and the importance of that aspect of Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
Yeah, I think because of his personality, I think he becomes so important. Because as I said before, it's in Sweden, I think we need people like that have like this, I wouldn't say arrogance, but they have really good confidence, and they feel that they can be a little bit more than I mean, the regular person think they can be. Because in Sweden, I think we have this called Jantelagen, and it's a little bit like you shouldn't think that you're better than you are. And I think he goes against that. He dream big and he achieve big. So, yeah, I think it's an important thing to have.
Oscar, how do you think that happened? And obviously, I mean, no one can speak to this perfectly apart from Zlatan himself, but how do you think that happened in the Swedish cultural climate that you bring up there, the cultural climate that is very much based on humility and we're all equal, and here comes this guy who goes, no, I'm the best and I'm going to show the world that I'm the best. Where does that attitude come from for him, do you think?
I think some people could answer it better than me, but I guess something has to do with his upbringing, because where he was born, it wasn't like a big so-called regular Swedish area. It was a little bit more segregated, and I think that feeling of being a little bit more, I think it could feed better there. Because if in a regular Swedish team, he would be like, oh, shut up, Zlatan, you shouldn't think that you are something. But I think it was good for him to kind of have that upbringing. And for me, that like multicultural things and countries. So for me, I love that too. I don't know. I just love Zlatan.
Well, that transitions back to someone who I brought up there a few minutes ago, and you talk about the multicultural aspects of Zlatan's upbringing, and I've said this on the show many a times. It was actually from his time playing for Celtic in Glasgow in the old Scottish Premier League, and Henrik Larsson was a very important player for me growing up as a soccer fan. I had a big poster of Henrik Larsson on my wall in my room when I was 8 years old, when he had his long hair in the hoops of Celtic, running by, celebrating a goal, sticking his tongue out. Talk about audacity and confidence. And Henrik Larsson was a very important man in not only the history of Swedish football, but the history of Swedish multiculturalism and being someone who quite frankly looked the way he looked, what that meant for a little bit of difference within the Swedish national team. Talk a little bit more about that and how you've seen that develop over the years in Sweden, and people finally embracing it, and still the work that has to be done on a cultural level to make sure that everybody embraces multiculturalism.
Yeah, I think if we kind of compare countries, I think in Sweden in general, I think we are pretty good at embracing kind of multicultural. But for me, it's so important. I think football is one of the greatest tools to kind of show that different personalities, different cultures can kind of work together and bring something beautiful. So, and that's why I love Arsenal also, because Arsene Wenger has always been like a big... he's always had this thing that I don't care where you come from, as long as you are a good player that connect good with others. So yeah, I think it's really important. I think football is like the perfect tool to kind of show that.
Absolutely. That's one of the most important points there of all, is to take advantage of that platform as footballers. The fact that you have a whole lot of clout, you have the ability to make cultural change based on the fact that you're good at kicking a ball and that you have these skills that have propelled you to this level in the world. Well, take advantage and accomplish some social change while you're up there. That doesn't mean that every athlete has that necessarily that responsibility, but good on the ones that do take it upon themselves to take advantage of the platform that they've been given, whether it's Henrik Larsson, whether it's Zlatan Ibrahimovic, or so many thousands of others across the sporting landscape. All right, let's snap back in to the present moment. Swedish national team supporters were oh so happy during the break as the Danes were ousted, and Sweden will indeed be heading to Euro 2016 in France. Talk about the Swedish hopes right now and riding on the shoulders of the man that we will talk about for oh so long to come, named Zlatan Ibrahimovic. Talk about the Swedish hopes right now and how you guys are feeling about doing something in Euros.
Yeah, I mean, I think the regular Swede, I don't think he really thinks that Sweden gonna make it through the group stage in the Euro Championship. Because Now it felt like almost half of the countries could go to the Euro because it was so many teams. I mean, you have Northern Ireland, you have Albania. So I don't think the normal Swede was so proud that we got to the Euro Championship. But I'm really happy, and I think actually we have a little bit luck in the group stage. It could be interesting.
Well, Oscar, when you bring up the 24 teams there, though, I just want to play devil's advocate here because I know exactly what you're saying, and you're not the only one that has made that point on this show. I mean, it seems like, you know, over half of Europe qualified for this thing with the new addition of the 8 teams. But I can't help but wonder, on the flip side of that, if that could help out teams where, hey, whoa, look in our group, we had a couple of minnows in this group. Oh, suddenly we are in the antithesis of a group of death. We have a lot of winnable matches here. We can progress and make a classic cup run. I mean, could that be something that could help Sweden, you think?
Yeah, you make a good point because more teams is going to be less. It's more teams, it's going to be more bad teams. So it could be easier in the group stage. And I mean, as I said, I mean, we could be lucky. And when it's just one match, I think Zlatan could, if we have really lucky and the defense play really good, I mean, Zlatan always had that magic in him. So who knows? I mean, I'm more positive than the normal Swede. I think we could do something good, but hopefully it would be fun.
It would be very fun, and I will definitely be pulling a bit for Sweden next summer. Oscar, in 3 minutes that we got left here with you, I want to ask you about your upbringing with Swedish soccer. Who were your first favorite players and your first favorite club, and how you got introduced to the game in Sweden?
Yeah, in Sweden, I think it was just my brother is 2 years older, so and he started to play. So for me, it was just hanging with my brother. Then I got really interested, and favorite players for me in the beginning was, I don't know, how old are you, Nate?
Oh, we always try to keep this a secret on the show, but I'm actually, I am 24 years old, but I like to think of myself as a historically conscious 24-year-old. So go ahead and throw out any era that you like here.
Yeah. So when I was a little boy, I think Real Madrid players that really attracted me was Fernando Hierro and Redondo. So that was like two big players for me to kind of be inspired of. And of course, Mikael Laudrup also. So that was like main three. And after that, the one that really stand out for the rest of my life actually is Dennis Bergkamp. He's like my all-time favorite.
Absolutely love it. One Dennis Bergkamp walking along, singing a song, walking in a Bergkamp wonderland. Hey, you know what's funny is I have to throw this out to you here. You're an Arsenal fan. We've talked all about the Swedish national team, and we have not given one hat tip, not one shout out to Freddie Ljungberg in this show. What do you remember about Freddie Ljungberg, the player? Let's give a little tribute to Frederick before we got to let you go here, Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, the one thing I loved by Fredrik Ljungberg was that he was a winner. I mean, he really knew how to win a game, and he had that kind of winning instinct. But I mean, he wasn't the most, he wasn't like Dennis Bergkamp. He wasn't as beautiful to watch, but I mean, for me it was fun because we had a Swede in our team, and because of that we more often had the Arsenal game on television. So, yeah.
That must have been pretty damn cool, having a Swede finally play for Arsenal.
Yeah, of course. But we had before also. When I started to watch Arsenal, they had Anders Limpar, and he was like a really good player then.
Absolutely. Like, well, good shout out to Anders Limpar there. I'm glad we got that one in as well. We're breaking down multiple eras. We're talking stand-up comedy, where we're talking Sherlock Holmes and Jay-Z, talking Gary Neville and Luis Suarez, and of course a whole lot of Seinfeld. This was quite a bit of fun, Oscar. You're welcome back on the show anytime. And again, everybody out there, be sure to check out the book, I Want to Be Like Jurgen Klopp and Other Strange Thoughts About Football. Oscar Oberg, again, thank you so much for coming on.
Thank you so much, Nate. It was so much fun.
Again, that was Oscar Oberg. We're back after this on World Soccer Talk Radio. Stay tuned. You know, things are getting heated between the engineer and I when we're just doing Scarface impersonations back and forth for the entire commercial break. That got profane. That got nasty. That could have gotten violent if we were actually in the same town, which we will be soon. I'll see you in San Francisco, Dom. That's right. You're out of your element. We're mixing in Scarface. You're like the Scarface Big Lebowski mix up there. I kind of like that. That would be a very interesting cinematic mashup. I don't know what we're doing there, but it would be fun. Can you imagine, you know, Walter and the dude hanging out with Scarface? I don't know what's happening, but I like it. A huge thank you to Oscar Oberg, who has put me in this mood of mixing worlds after we broke down Sherlock Holmes and Jay-Z and Billy Connolly and George Carlin and discussed what Seinfeld characters George Costanza and Cosmo Kramer would be like as soccer managers. I very much enjoyed that. Let us know your take on that aspect of a very bizarre conversation there a couple of segments ago. Let us know who you think of all the Seinfeld characters, who would be the best soccer manager? Cannot wait to get your thoughts. It's at World Soccer Talk and at Nate WST. Talk about soccer managers. Tony Meola, our good friend Tony Meola, has just been appointed as the new manager of the Jacksonville Armada in the North American Soccer League. And I don't know what the bigger story is here. Meola getting this gig or Grant Wall reporting a story on the North American Soccer League. How you like them apples? Signing off for the producers in SF, signing off for Oscar Oberg. My name is Nate Abarea. Huge thanks to the barkeep, Rory Wilson. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Cheers.